Hello, this is Bereaved Parents Club podcast. It's a club none of us want to be members of, but here we are. My name is Tracy and I am a bereaved parent. This podcast is for all of us to share and celebrate the stories of our children and offer support to each other. Each episode will explore topics that have relevance to us as we navigate the world as bereaved parents. Whether your loss was last week, last month, last year, or even last century, you are welcome here. And whether your child was a baby, a youngster, a teenager, an adult, or even a parent themselves, you are welcome here. Please be aware that this episode will deal with themes of death, loss, and suicide. Kashia's story, Yak's world. In today's episode, I'm joined by Kashia, whose son Jakob died by suicide in 2023. Kashia will tell us about Jakob, including talking about Jakob's final day. So please consider whether this episode is right for you before listening. Kashia will also talk about Yak's World, a suicide prevention charity, and how this has helped her in her grief, and how she, as an EFT practitioner, uses this practice daily in trying to help regulate her nervous system. This episode was recorded at the end of September. We are releasing during Grief Awareness Week to highlight the lifelong grief journey we are on as bereaved parents and how our growing love for our child after their death continues to change and shape our lives. My name is Tracy. I'm a bereaved parent of George. We've just got through September, which has been a really busy month. It's been Suicide Prevention Month and also Worldwide Suicide Prevention Day on the 10th of September. But for Yak's World, every day is a day where they're offering support, advice and providing awareness on suicide prevention. And I'm just so delighted that I have Kashia today with me, Jakob's mum. So welcome, Kashia.
Thank you, Tracy. Thank you for having me.
Well, thank you for joining me. And I just wanted to see, really, if you would firstly like to talk about your story and about Jakob.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you very much for this opportunity. So Jakob was my firstborn and he had such a great creative spark. During COVID, when so many young people were feeling isolated, he discovered music production. So he would sit upstairs in his room making beats on his laptop and then come running downstairs, excited to share them with me. And I will never forget those moments. His face would light up, and when he would play something new and share. He wasn't a performer in the traditional sense, but he didn't play guitar or piano, but he had this natural talent for creating and producing music that other young artists wanted to be a part of. So he collaborated with a lot of them, supporting their work and building real friendships through music. And actually, on the first anniversary of his passing, we held a concert in his memory. Many of the artists he had produced for, they came and performed one of his beats. And it was such a special event. We had family, friends, and even the Samaritans were there.
I went and it was an amazing event. Yeah.
It reminded me that Jakob's music wasn't just something he did in his bedroom. You know, it created community and it's still bringing people together even now.
Very special. And did you want to talk a bit more about what happened with Jakob?
So Jakob was 19 years old and one day he just went missing, and it was his best friend that rang me. I remember I was working, you know, it was, I think maybe we just came out of COVID. I began working from home as a key worker. I was on duty that day, and I feel so bad even telling you this now. I didn't know he was missing. So his friend rang me and he said, you know, can you just check if Yaki's at his bedroom, because just go and check, and he wasn't, and that's just, you know, we just never expected that police will be coming through the door on Friday night telling me that my son died. Yeah, that was just, no, I mean, not only me, but his friends, family, it was just, you know, like they say, unexpected death, sudden unexpected death that comes with just trauma, and it just changes everything.
Yeah, I mean, there's no adequate words to explain the devastation of this. And like you say, as well as all the people that it affects as well, with his friends and his family and yourself as his mum. So would you like to also talk a bit more about how the Axe World came about, the reason for it and what's behind it?
Yes, thank you very much for asking. So the Axe World came about after, obviously, Jakub's sudden and unexpected death. Like I've mentioned, not only our immediate family, but also his friends and people who knew him were completely shocked. They would come to our house sharing their stories, and we will be holding each other through the horrible first, you know, few hours, days, weeks, months. And I remember thinking that something needs to be done. You know, if young people feel this way and yet they don't feel able to talk to their parents or friends who deeply love and care for them, then we need to create a different kind of space. And one of Jakub's dreams was to have his own music studio. So we wanted to make that dream come true, a place where young people could continue to create and express themselves. Because, you know, not everyone wants to talk about what troubles them or their pain, or they don't know, they can't find words, and not everyone needs or wants medication. There are many different ways we can prevent loved ones from taking their own lives. So first we started as a community interest company, and then on World Suicide Prevention Day in 2024, we launched Yaks World as a charity. And we knew winter is an incredibly difficult time. So World Suicide Prevention Day is always 10th of September, and that kind of leads us to the, you know, autumn and the dark, shorter days, longer darkness. So we knew that this is an incredibly difficult time, with suicide deaths often rising. So we started our Hopeful Horizon project, offering weekly holistic sessions in the community for free. And I must say, all of this has helped me in my own grief too, because I just wanted to engage in something what was more person-centered and where people were seen and heard, because I believe you can only and truly heal in community. So this year we celebrated the Axfield's second birthday, and we hosted our first ever suicide prevention conference, which was a great success. Lots of positive feedbacks. People were saying, continue doing what you're doing, you know, expand. But there is still, you know, so much to do. So over the next 5 years, I think our focus will be on growing suicide training and awareness, not only for organizations who support others, which is, I think, a must. If you support someone, whether it's practical support, mental health support, you need to be aware of suicide and how it can just come into enter people's lives, like suicidal thoughts. So not only organizations, but also families like ours, like yours, like others. And that's how we can make prevention, suicide prevention, part of everyday life.
I went on some of your sessions last year, and I got great benefit from them, like you say, especially in the winter months when it's dark, it's cold, it's wet. Your grief can be accelerated, and just having some, like you say, holistic and other approaches. And I know that you offered a lot of sessions whereby you could try something different. Yeah, I got a lot out of it. So when you talked about the community, you've been running the sessions in the Salford community where you live?
Mm-hmm. Yes, it's true. Correct. Yes.
I know you had amazing positive response to your suicide prevention conference, which was wonderful that you did that, and you had so many different speakers.
I attend many conferences. Yeah. There is this desire in me to learn everything and anything about why people die by suicide. And this, although it was called conference, it was really an event, community event, where I really wanted to invite organizations from Salford who do support people, you know, and who, people who lost a loved one to suicide, to share, just open the conversation about a subject that's a very difficult. Some people can't say the word suicide. Some people think if they start talking about it, they will put the idea in others' minds. And, you know, it's time we break that fear. And it's time we have spaces where we can talk about it. And I remember I went to one of my drop-in sessions just a few days ago. And there was a gentleman who came and he said, "Thank you for this conference. I tried to enter, but I got only as far as coming near the door." And you know what? I said, I'm grateful to, because, you know, he made it to the door. Mm. We don't know what his story is. And I said, maybe next time you will come through the door. We are having men's sessions there, you know, once a month. Please feel very welcome to come in. So this is just showing how difficult it is for some people, you know?
Yeah, no, absolutely.
There is so much stigma. You know, people still refer to suicide as a crime, and they said committed suicide. Well, it's not a crime, at least in UK, since 1961. And the language is so important. You know, it would just add to my pain as a parent when people will say he committed suicide because my son didn't commit a crime.
Yeah.
You know, mostly people I speak to, I support, I intervene, those people, they have nothing, no aggression in them whatsoever. They have no hope. They are so in the dark that they aren't violent, you know. There isn't, it's not a crime what they do. And so anyway, part of our efforts, Jakvold mission, is to change the language and change the narrative around suicide, provide more training, make people feel more comfortable.
Yeah, and to end the stigma as well, isn't it? Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah. And you're doing so many things out there in the community. It's amazing what you're achieving and what you've achieved in a year as well since you officially launched the Yaks World charity. You've also had some other initiatives, haven't you, with the charity, like, for example, the training, the suicide prevention training for taxi drivers was a recent program that you've run, isn't it, in the community as well?
Yes, there is. We are trying as a grassroots charity. I'm acting on my personal living experience. So my son took a taxi to his final destination, and this taxi driver was never engaging during the inquest. And there is things everyone can do to prevent lives being lost. And that was just us reaching, trying to reach, educate taxi drivers. We don't expect them to be a therapist, but we want to help them and make them aware also, you know. There is so much we can do. So we're just trying different things from a place of support. You know,
and you've come up with different training programs. I think that one is just like 10 minutes of people's time.
Yeah, so this one isn't ours. It's Zero Suicide Alliance. They offer free 10-minute training for taxi drivers, for NHS employees, for people who are on autism spectrum. In Wales, I am also having conversations with them to have one in Polish language, but I know they are really busy, so we'll see, hopefully next year.
And you mentioned before about Jakob's friends, and I know that some of them have been like, they put on concerts, haven't they, and they put on gigs. Is that right? In some way, fundraising and a boxing match. Was that one of Jakob's friends recently?
Or Three Peaks Challenge. We have someone who is traveling currently and is in Australia. And, you know, they just do what they can, whatever they can. So they involve others selling matcha coffees or doing some kind of sport challenges. It's a, you know, we have runs with the media, City Run or Heaton Park Run.
Yeah, and it all helps, doesn't it, to raise the funds that you need for the program.
Every little helps, because, you know, we don't have any money coming from anywhere. Everything we do is we volunteer our time.
I think Jakob will be very proud of his mum for all the achievements that you've made in the last year in the charity. And many more to come as well as the charity evolves, because, as you mentioned, it's only officially a year old. So you've done so much in that year when you look back. It's amazing. And you mentioned as well before, Kashia, about you know, the sessions that you ran and the importance to you personally. And I know it's sort of shaped and changed what you've been involved in the last 2 years. And I'm aware that you also did the David Kessler program as well. You're qualified suicide first aid. I just wondered if you wanted to talk about more about, you know, sort of what you've learnt and the tools that you've gained in the last 2 years and sort of where you see that moving forward.
Yeah, thank you, Tracy. So when you go through a loss like mine, you don't really think of yourself as having achievements. It's more about survival at first. But I'm proud that I've been able to turn my pain into something that might help others. And actually, before Jakub died, I had trained as a emotional freedom technique practitioner, which has honestly been a lifeline for me. So after his death, I felt I needed to understand everything I could about suicide and grief. So I took all the trainings available in suicide prevention. I became a qualified and licensed suicide first aider. I trained in compassionate inquiry with Gabor Mate. He's one of the leading trauma experts out there. And earlier this year, I became a certified grief educator through David Kessler's program. And there is a little announcement I have. I also enrolled in postgraduate study in suicidology at the Wyzja University in Warsaw, Poland. And it's starting in October. And for me, this is about deepening my knowledge so I can support others more effectively and continue making suicide prevention everyone's business. We know that people die by suicide every day, and there is more and more Polish people, you know, reaching out. And I want to be able to speak the language and be able to support them as well. So going back to EFT, Emotional Freedom Techniques, this has honestly been a lifeline for me as a bereaved parent. So, you know, that grief can feel like a tsunami of emotions, anxiety, the overwhelm, and this constant what if and what haven't I done and why, and tapping just gave me a way to calm my nervous system when I feel like I can't breathe. And it doesn't take the pain away, but it helps me carry it in a way that feels less crushing, really.
Because that's the thing, isn't it? It's having tools to deal with the trauma, the anxiety that this sort of trauma brings, and the panic attacks that a lot of parents go through, and PTSD as well. So it's having some tools, isn't it, to try and, like you say, it doesn't take it away, but it's how you sort of can bring yourself down and sort of get some calm. And
yeah, just safety, really, you know, peace. It's also something I now share with others, because I know how powerful even a simple practice can be when you are in that raw place. So helping other moms, especially bereaved moms and community members, through therapy sessions is not only part of my healing, but I'm also, you know, I remember Jakub saying, I don't want you to be a slave of 9-to-5 job. You know, you can find something. And I qualified 3 days before he died. For me, I want to use this because I know he was one of my first, you know, persons that I've tried it on. And I know that, you know, it's really been helping me. I can't even begin to tell you how effective it is for me.
And you do run sessions online?
I am. And it's also about continuous development, you know, attending, being in the community of other professionals. Things are changing rapidly. And this trauma-informed word has now became, you know, people throw it left, right and center. But actually, are they either really creating trauma-informed spaces with their clients? And from feedback I'm getting, whether it's supporting someone in suicide crisis or talking to moms who attend EFT groups, they are, you know, being re-traumatized by people all the time. So if they have an assessment, you know, for example, an assessment for NHS therapy, during the assessment, they are being asked for details of what happened to them. And then they are left at home alone, being re-traumatized, and so on and so on. So, you know, it's really important to, like, I don't believe talking therapy serves everyone, but that's all it's offered on NHS. So tapping is just an alternative. It's mind, it's body, a somatic way of dealing with, you just regulating your nervous system. And for us parents who lost someone, you know, you can be there, back in the dark place in no time. How do you get yourself back to the present moment quickly? Because sometimes you drive and the waves come, and sometimes you are in a public place, you know, and you just so emotional that you want to cry and you are shaking. It's just for me it works, and it works for other people too. So yeah, it's just a tool that I recommend everyone to try. There is various things online that people can do. There is apps. I can provide all the information that they can put under the podcast.
Yeah, we'll put it in the episode listings. But like you say, I mean, it's just triggers, isn't it? I mean, you can be triggered at any moment, unexpectedly, and it takes you right back to that trauma and to that pain. Whereas having, you know, a toolkit that can help you pull out something that can help you in that moment and that situation, it is a very powerful thing. And you can do it anywhere, can't you?
Exactly, yes, you can.
So is that something that you're going to continue with?
Absolutely, yes.
Providing sessions and providing one-to-one support.
Yes, and what I love about it is you really create, with EFT sessions, you create a safe space where people can open up and people can start sharing if they want to, but they don't have to. And then as they attend the workshop, let's say six sessions, they are learning a tool that they can take home with them. They have it at their own fingertips. So I don't want anybody to need me. I want to equip people to know that there is something they can do to help themselves. You know, it's about empowerment and about just knowing that you've got this in you. That is something everyone can do. And it works. There is around 250 golden standard papers, you know, about it. But it just always takes ages to get any modality approved by NICE or whoever, you know. It works because I know NHS staff uses it. I've heard lately someone was injecting Botox and tapping on the side of the eye for, you know, a person because it helped.
Yeah. Like you say, unfortunately, these things take a number of years, don't they, before it could be decades before they become mainstream in terms of therapy. And it certainly is something that I know I've met other parents as well, Kasia, that have told me about EFT as well and the benefits and that they use it all the time. And, you know, it has been their go-to in terms of when they're, you know, dealing with extreme trauma, the PTSD,
yeah,
it's been very healing for them.
Cancer, PTSD, grief. Yeah, there is a lot of people who are neurodiverse that find that tapping works for them as well. Yeah, so if anything from this podcast, do please check it out and see if it works for you because not everything works for everyone, yeah. You know.
Yeah. And it's such a shame, isn't it, that it's not recognised out there for young people. Could benefit greatly from having these techniques, couldn't they? You know, in their teen years, dealing with exams and all the pressure that comes with school, peer groups, etc. It's just, it's something that we could do with being out there in education as well, couldn't it, with our young people from an early age.
Mm-hmm. If you go to EFT International, it's our government body, and there is lots of people who try to put this in education. It's also very cost effective, you know. It takes six CBT sessions comparing to two EFT sessions to achieve whatever it is that you want. It works on cravings, weight loss. Many things like, you know, health, cancer. It's anything to do with emotion, and emotions are just part of everything, right?
A big part of everything. How it affects you as well, isn't it? It's a really big part.
Yeah, and how it's stored in our bodies. When you feel angry, immediately you can feel the tension in your face or in your hands, and EFT helps to help us first to notice, gosh, I really feel this heaviness in my shoulders, like the weight of the world that I carry, you know, and let's do something about this. And when you work with a person and they speak out loud what really bothers them, there is no going back. This is what's happening for you right now. And We need to acknowledge it. And that nobody teaches us to accept negative emotions, to get through them, and how. We all are just running away, and that's where there's, you know, all the addictions and other coping mechanisms. Not just alcohol and drugs, you know, shopping can be, or eating chocolates every night.
Yeah, that.
Or going on TikTok or Insta.
Yeah. That's the thing, isn't there? So many things at everybody's fingertips, I think, as well. Yeah. Not shopping for me, but definitely chocolate. Yeah. But thank you so much for sharing about EFT, because I'm sure there's many parents that maybe have not heard about EFT as well. We'll obviously make sure we cover everything in the episode listing as well. I just wanted to go back to, you mentioned about Jakob's amazing musical talent, and hopefully you'll be happy for us to share some links to his music as well on the podcast episode, because we'd love to do that.
Yes, he had a YouTube channel, and you know, he even had a contract with Sony. He was like getting royalties. He was a really talented musician in whatever music he produced. It's not something like pop or it's special, you know, for young people nowadays. And he was really good at it. And I, you know, I'm probably putting up the numbers how many times I listen to his tunes on YouTube, but they aren't anywhere else. So what can I do?
Yeah. And I think you've got some other artists, haven't they, that have used some of Jakob's beats as well, that live on in their music as well.
When you look at the comments on his YouTube channel, it's just like the people, what they were saying about him, and it just really was so such a comfort for me as a man to see how other people viewed him. And yeah, and I just don't want this music part of him to be forgotten, you know?
No, it will never be forgotten. And his music will live on as well.
That's beautiful about creating,
yes.
Right? It doesn't have an expiry date.
No. Yeah. And it can evolve in maybe in the future in different ways. It might be utilized and it might be chopped up and it might be however music evolves in the next 10 years or 15 years or 20 years, I'm sure.
Who knows who will listen to this podcast? Maybe just will give me a call and say, I've got money to make Jakob's dream come true. And you can have a studio in his name. And in that studio, you can also have different rooms for all the holistic approaches that you want. Everything is possible. You need to just dream.
I know you have an amazing outlook on the way you view life as well.
Today. Today's okay day.
I just wanted to say thank you so much, Cassia, for coming on to the Bree Parents podcast and for sharing Jakob and Yak's world and about EFT and all the therapies as well. I'm sure that your words will be a great benefit to other parents, and especially parents who, like yourself, have lost a child to suicide. You've been very honest and open in how you live your life through this. So thank you.
Thank you for having me and giving me this opportunity. I really appreciate it. Thank you.
So we always like to end the episode with something a little bit lighter. I'd like to ask you, Cassia, if you have something that you are grateful for today.
Yes, Tracy, thank you. So today, I'm grateful for the other moms that I've met along the way who continue to give me hope and support, people like you, Tracy, because their kindness reminds me that even in the hardest moments, we are not alone.
Oh, thank you.
For coming this far, because I never imagined that I will be able to survive this. I'm grateful for everything that helps me, you know. I'm sure the massive part is Yak's World Charity, but also my daughter. And I'm grateful for other moms who really, you know, knowing that someone is further ahead, that it's possible. Today, I'm just grateful that I am where I am and that today is an okay day.
Thank you so much for sharing that. Thank you for sharing your story today, Kashia. I hope you have found this episode informative and it has given some comfort, reassurance and hope. All the organisations we've mentioned are listed on our episode listing, and there are even more resources on our website, bereavedparentsclub.org.uk. You can reach us with any of your feedback or thoughts via email at hello@bereavedparentsclub.org.uk. Please do share the podcast amongst your networks so that we can reach everyone who might benefit. Thank you for listening. This episode is dedicated to Jakob.